Well, good morning, Fort Alliance Church. You know, this is very surreal to be back here after 13 years. But, you know, Linda and I are just delighted to be back. We want to thank you, Pastor Ken, for inviting us back, you and the board. We're just so grateful for that invitation to be here for 6 months, half-time, just filling in as Pastor Ashley becomes a mother and gets into motherhood. We want to give her a break. And so it's so good to be back. And we have so many memories of this church. You were so significant in the formation of our lives and the life of our family. And I remember coming here in 1992. We had just come from the Philippines. The grace that was extended to us as a family. I remember one of you talked to one of our kids shortly after we got here, and you said, "You are a PK, aren't you?" Our kids weren't used to being a pastor's kid. They were a missionary kid, but now they were PKs, and they said, I guess so. But you said to them, "Well, here you're not. You're not a pastor's kid, you're just a regular kid." And that's what we want you to be. And that's what our kids were given for all the years that we were here. And you were very significant in each one of our lives. And so it's good to be back, but boy, is it surreal. This morning, I want to talk to you about a surprising discovery. We're going to go on a walk. In fact, I love walking. During my semi-retirement years now, I have begun to collect walking sticks, and I love to go for walks, even and especially in Alberta winters. This one here comes from the Banff Springs Hotel, and I use this one a lot, but this one here is really one of my favorites. This one is a creation of Dan Eddy. Dan found this. It's Diamond Willow. He carved it out, and he gave it to me. And so this is a very, very special walking stick. It's a beauty, isn't it? I love it. But this one here is one that has a lesson with it. And this one is from Kampala, Uganda. Our daughter and her family are working with Africa Inland Mission in Kampala. And we went to visit them once, not too long ago, a couple years ago. And when Jessica, our daughter, and Linda went to a shop one day, they found this. And they knew I liked walking sticks, so they bought it for me. But on the way back to the house, they decided to stop in at a store. And as they were going into that store, the guard stopped them, and he said, "You cannot bring a weapon into the store." And he says, "This isn't a weapon. This is a walking stick." And then he went like this. And they didn't know what was inside, you know? But isn't it true that oftentimes when we look into the Bible and when we become acquainted with Jesus Christ, we don't know exactly what's inside the Bible or inside this relationship with Jesus Christ? And so we're here today to make discoveries. For some of us, maybe rediscoveries, but we're here to go for a walk, and to take a walk through this passage that Pastor Ken has read. It's a lovely beginning to this book, and Pastor Ken started it off last week by taking us into the 19th chapter of Acts. And that's where we were introduced to the place called Ephesus. Aquila and Priscilla actually started a church there. And then the Apostle Paul came and he pastored it for 3 years and he really built it up and it became the love of his life. He loved the believers in Ephesus and he wrote to them very fondly and with some very good news. And we're going to go into that today. And as we look at this passage, I'm just reminded of what Pastor Ken said last week in his introduction to this series. He said this, he said, "There is always more of Jesus." I love that. As we recognize and process that, if we want more of Jesus, We need to move past where we were yesterday. We need to move past where we were yesterday. And so that's what we want to do. We want to go for a walk through this passage. We want to keep moving forward and deeper into our relationship with Jesus Christ in our experiential knowledge of Him and the Scriptures. And so I love what Tozer said, and I probably said this to you maybe 15 years ago, but it's one of my favorite quotes. He says, "You can exaggerate many things, but you could never exaggerate the love of God toward us through Jesus Christ. You can't exaggerate it. It's a person. It's a person that we're going to meet and talk about today, and I'm just thrilled that we're here." Well, you know, walking on a sunny day in Alberta has a lot of surprising discoveries. But walking through Ephesians 1:1-6 has even greater surprises to uncover. So let's walk together and discover them together. Let's look at the first one. It's found in verse 3. And Pastor Ken read this for us. I'm going to read this verse by itself. It's discovery number one, God blesses. Discovery one, number one is God blesses. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Because we are united with Christ. It's always in Christ or through Christ. That's the secret. It's a person. Charles Price, I love listening to his messages. He was at the People's Church for many years. In his testimony, he talks about this. He says, "When I first became a Christian, I looked at the Christian life as having a ticket, a certificate, and a catalog." He says the ticket was this, that I had a free passage to heaven, a one-way trip to heaven. It was great. The certificate was all my sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ, and was signed by Jesus Christ. All of Charles Price's sins are forgiven. Signed, Jesus. A certificate. And people would then ask him, "Well, that's great for when you leave this life, but what about now?" He says, "Well, that's where I have a catalog. And I can look in it and I can find that to me, through this relationship with Christ, I have peace. And the Holy Spirit is the one who gives it to me. He lives in me." And it's kind of like I say, "Holy Spirit, I need peace." And so he takes like a toothpaste tube full of peace, and he goes all over inside me, and I feel all peaceful. Well, what about joy? He'll do the same thing. Or what about love when I need it? He'll do the same thing. Well, what about power? Sure, same thing. The Holy Spirit will give that. And so I take these things one at a time as I need them. But, you know, as he grew in Christ, a few years later, he made a startling discovery, one of the greatest discoveries of his life. And that was that it wasn't all of these things one at a time, but it was a person, Jesus Christ. All of these things are found in a person, but we need the person. It's about really becoming acquainted with him and growing deeper, walking with him, where suddenly our life begins to change from the inside out. And it's just a remarkable experience that he found. And you know, what about all these things that are called blessings in this passage? Well, they come through Jesus Christ. But how do I experience them? How do they come into my life in the here and now as I walk with Christ? The way that we bring those blessings into our lives is simply, it's so simple. It's by coming as a sinful, suffering, broken person and receiving. Coming and receiving every day. Coming and receiving. Doing it over and over again. Jesus never tires of our coming again and again, drinking deeply of who he is. And that's the essence of life until we get to heaven. I don't know where you're at right now. A lot of us are in situations that are not easy for us. Boy, you know, in coming here, just in the last few days, I've heard of your lives. Many of you are doing so well, but some of you, you have illnesses, you have challenges, and some of them are really, really big. And I wonder how you're doing. You know, what has God promised us? Well, he hasn't promised that he'll remove our problems from us or that he'll level every mountain in front of us. We often pray for that, and that's our desired outcome. But, you know, he's promised that he will be with us and be all that we need when we get the worst news of our life, when we feel like a failure. You ever feel like a failure? When we are tempted and we're overwhelmed with temptation and we fall. When the challenges of COVID drag out longer than we had hoped. Sometimes God takes us to the end of our resources in order for us to discover our utter dependence on him and just how ample he is for everything we need. Jehoshaphat found that in the Old Testament. I love this. One of my favorite accounts in the Old Testament is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. One day he found out that Jehoshaphat found out that the enemies, it wasn't just one, it was three nations that were going to gang up on them. And there were so many more of them than of the people of Israel. And Jehoshaphat knew that their end would come. The enemy was in En-Gedi. And they were on their way to Jerusalem. And they were just going to destroy the people of Israel. Jehoshaphat was really alarmed. He was really afraid. And he got the people together, the great and the small, and they all got before God and they cried out to him. And in verse 20, he came out with this. And I learned from this. 3 nights ago, I put it into practice. Jehoshaphat said, "We have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Our eyes are on you. And about 3 nights ago, I couldn't sleep. I just couldn't sleep. You have those nights. I know you do. There were 3 things in my mind, and it caused me to become so agitated and so empty of any kind of comfort and peace in my life that I just cried out to God. I remembered this, and I says, "God, I don't know what to do. These things are not in my control. One is a health issue with a very loved person, someone who is in ICU right now. Another one is a world situation. And then there were things that were just on my mind, and they overwhelmed me, and I just told God, I don't know what to do. None of this is in my control, but my eyes are on you. So I choose to trust in you with all my heart, not leaning on my own understanding or my own resources to figure it out, but I'm going to acknowledge you as Lord of all, over all. And I'm coming to you, the person of Jesus Christ." And you know, suddenly a peace just swept over my life. It was so good, so helpful. But you know, there's other things in this passage that are discoveries. Let's move on and look at them. We have the blessings of God, but also discovery number 2 is that God beautifies. He loves to beautify. Verse 4 is this. "Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes." He beautifies us, holy and without fault, blemishlessness. We are unblemished in his eyes. Wow. And I was thinking about this, and then all of a sudden I thought, God chooses. You know, sometimes there's a bit about discussion in scriptures about God choosing us. Predestination, election, you know, God choosing us and our response to him, or is it up to us to become a believer in Christ? Is it all up to us? And there's kind of a tension here. You know, and I'm reminded of a couple of weeks ago, with COVID, we couldn't gather as a family in our home, and we had 7 members of our family. We had some grandkids that wanted to go for a walk. And I thought, great, it's a beautiful day. Let's go for a walk. We went to one of the most beautiful paths in Edmonton. But it was a nice day. It was sunny, and it was a little bit thawing. And so it created a slippery path. And by the end of our walk, 6 out of 7 of us had fallen down. No human beings were injured in this walk, by the way. But I just thought about that. As we walk through this passage, we can slip, we can trip over certain things. One of them is a whole debate over the Calvinism and Arminianism that we find debated in this passage. But you know, people much smarter than me have been dealing with this for centuries, and they haven't figured it out yet, so I'm not either. But I can say this, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself, right? So you just slip down, and I'm cheating here, Pastor Ken. I'm going to go down into your passage that you'll be preaching on, but I'm just going to say this. In verse 13, it says this, "And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit." Well, I have a responsibility to believe. No matter what is true, that is absolutely true, that I need to believe. And so today, I need to be a responder to God's Spirit. I need to be a believer in Christ. Are you there? Have you done that? And when we do that, it uncovers the greatest find in the universe. Well, let's go on and look at it. You know, he says here that in Christ, we are holy and without fault. We are beautiful. God beautifies. And you know, I was out for a walk late in the summer, and I was walking along, and as I was walking along, I was almost home, and I came around by a pond near our house, and I was listening to my phone. I have sermons and books, and I can listen to lots of stuff as I walk. And I was listening to a sermon by a man named Tim Keller, and Tim Keller was talking about how when we come to Christ, it's kind of like the Old Testament priest who would put his hand on an animal and transfer the sins of the Israelites onto that animal, and then the animal would be slaughtered. Well, you know, Jesus went to the cross for me. When I come to him, it's like I'm putting my hand on him, and I'm transferring all my sin to this beautiful, sinless person. And not only does he receive my sin, all of it, on himself, but he, in exchange, gives me all of his beauty, his righteousness, his purity, his holiness. All of a sudden, that is all placed on my account. In fact, I become, in the eyes of God, one who is holy and without fault, a person of beauty, a person of great desirability, in a sense. And as I was listening to this sermon, Tim Keller came to the point where he said, "And in Christ, you're beautiful." Well, at that very moment, something on the right side of the path caught my eye. It was about 8 feet off in the grass, and it was purple. And I thought, what in the world is this? It wasn't a burning bush, by the way, but it was a purple rock. And so I turned and I walked over to it, and I took a picture of it, by the way. I looked down. The last words I heard from Tim Keller was, "And you are beautiful." I looked down. And this rock, it was painted. The words on it were, "You are beautiful." And I thought, is God trying to tell me something? Maybe God wants to tell you something this morning. You know, when you come to the person of Jesus Christ, you come to a discovery that is so wonderful that it's not adequately described in any words we can give it. But just feel it in your heart that it is a discovery worth remaking every day of your life. Every day of your life. God beautifies. But thirdly, there's a third discovery that we make, and that is that God adopts. I love the idea of adoption. Every time I go to Wendy's, and it's often, I see, you know, Dave, the founder of Wendy's, he always promoted adoption because he was adopted, and he loved adoption. And so Wendy's promotes adoption. And I was thinking about this. Here's the verse. It's in verse 5. It says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure to adopt you into his forever family. God was thrilled to do it. The moment we are saved, we were adopted into the family of God. You know, human adoption is a wonderful thing. When human parents choose to adopt a child, they do so because they found a child that they love and they want to bless that child all of their life. That's wonderful. Adoption was in Paul's time. In the Romans world, when a Roman citizen adopted a child, certain rules applied to that adoption. The first one was that the adopted child was adopted permanently. They could never be disinherited. They could never be turned out of the family. Wow. They were so secure in the love of their father for their whole life. But the second thing was that the adopted child immediately had all of the rights of a legitimate family member, and they wouldn't lose them. Wow. And by the way, if they had any debt coming into that new family, that old debt would be canceled. Wow, it was a win-win-win situation. I love it. But you know, I love human adoption, and it's here. It's infected this church in a good way. There are people in your church who have chosen to adopt. By the way, I got Ken Bergman's permission to talk about this because it's kind of a personal thing. You know, Hanuk and Holly are adopted. Lovely kids. And I've seen Hanuk play basketball. I really didn't know Holly, but last Sunday, I was able to talk with Holly for the first time, kind of in a more of a prolonged conversation. And it was right over here. And I was talking to her. I said, Holly, I know Hanuk likes sports. And we were talking about Hanuk a little bit. And then she says, well, I like gymnastics. Want to see? And she did the splits right in front of me. And I thought, oh, that would hurt. And then I said to her, Holly, can your dad do that? And she says, no. But hey, I can do a backflip too. And she did a backflip right there. And it was amazing. But what a treasured conversation with somebody who loves to talk about adoption. They talk about adoption all the time in their family. They love it. Mother, father, son, and daughter, they love adoption. You should all love adoption too. Being adopted into God's forever family is such a special thing. And it should lift your spirit today. You know, John Piper talks about it and he says, and it gave God great pleasure to adopt us, that you would be part of his family, that you would become heir of all that God owns. Let that sink in, heir of all that God owns. That you would take on the family likeness. If you are trusting in Jesus Christ this morning, your life is growing into an absolutely sure and glorious future with God. There are no unimportant days in your life. You don't ever have to go to bed at night feeling that your life is going nowhere. You don't ever have to give in to the lie that you are not connected to an awesome purpose. I love those words. Adoption. That's discovery number 3. But we'll begin to conclude this message by talking about discovery number 4. And that is that God pours out grace. You know, he loves to bless, he loves to beautify, he loves to adopt, and he loves to pour out grace, unmerited kindness and favor. And so in verse 6, and so we praise God for the glorious grace that he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. You know, this morning on the way here, I fell to temptation. I got into the drive-thru at Tim Hortons for a coffee. That was okay. It was a small coffee, and it was a tea biscuit that I ordered. And I drove up around to the window to pay, and I heard these wonderful words. Oh, the lady in the car in front of you paid for your purchase. And I thought, oh, my heart just melted. I felt overwhelmed. It was only $3, you know, but somebody paid for that. And then it just made me want to pay for the person next to me, and I did, and it cost $8. But I had a Tim's card, and but it was a precious moment. And life is full of those. When you walk with Christ, every day you walk with Him, and life is the greatest adventure. And you keep making these discoveries of how wonderful God is and how He works in unexpected ways. And, you know, I was out walking last week, and I was talking to my brother. He just retired in Austin, Texas, and we're very close. And he started talking to me about a book that he's reading, and so let me pass it on to you. It's by Dane Ortlund, and it's entitled Gentle and Lowly. And I was listening to it over this last week. I got to chapter 8, only about half through the book, and I came to the conclusion that this might be one of the best, if not the best, books I've ever read. So I want to pass it on to you. And what it's done is it's opened up the heart of Jesus to me in a way unlike I've ever encountered it. And as I listen to Jesus' self-description in the Bible, I see that He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the bread of life. He's the light of the world. What a wonderful person. But here, in chapter 11, and this is what the book is all based on, where Jesus reveals who He really is in His very heart of hearts, in chapter 11 of Matthew, verses 28 through 30, this is how it reads. Then Jesus said, "Come to me." You know who He's talking to? He's talking to sinners, sufferers, and broken people. Is that you this morning? Boy, He's talking to me. So I need to listen. Come. But you have to come. There's some people who don't come. And if they don't come, they'll never know Jesus in this way. They will look at Him as an austere judge, one who's so distant and who does not understand their brokenness. They'll never know Him unless they come. So we have to come. He says, come. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, or learn of me, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Do you know Jesus that way? Have you gone into that inner sanctuary, that throne of grace where we find mercy and help in time of need, where we find the humble and gentle heart of Jesus? And whenever I come to Him, even if, and one of the old saints from the Middle Ages said this, even if I have sinned all of the sins of every person in the whole world, but I come, I will find acceptance and my slate will be wiped clean. In essence, that's what they said. No matter who I am, but I need to come to a person. It's always in Christ and through Christ. It's always about a person. That's where we find life and everything that we need. And Ortlund, the writer of this book, says this. Again, it was Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlund. Ortlund says, if Jesus hosted His own personal website, the most prominent line of the About Me drop-down would read, gentle and lowly in heart. He says, Jesus knows what it is to be thirsty and hungry, despised and rejected and scorned and shamed, embarrassed, abandoned, misunderstood and falsely accused, tortured and killed. He knows what it is to be lonely, all alone. His friends abandoned him when he needed them the most. Had he lived today, every last Twitter follower and Facebook friend would have unfriended him when he was 33 years old. He who will never unfriend us. What a Savior. Don't you just want to get to know him better? In the journey through the book of Ephesians, and discover, maybe rediscover who he is. That's what we're doing. Ken and I, Pastor Ken and I, are so excited. We're so excited about this book. But you know, let me close with a story about my favorite Bible character. Very little is said about him. And in 2021, maybe we could come to him, meet up with him, and walk with him. Like Enoch did. Enoch met God. He was drawn to God in such a deep and wonderful way. And the Bible says this in Genesis 5:24. Well, it tells us that Enoch never died. That's curious. And Enoch walked with God, and he was no more, for God took him. Throughout my whole Christian life, I've wondered what it would have been like to be an Enoch. I wonder if you and I could be an Enoch. Then I wonder, why was Enoch the way that he was? And I heard somebody talk about this once, and I'm not sure that it's completely accurate. But bear with me. Use your imagination. And think about what happened one day in a conversation that Enoch might have had with his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. You see, the Bible tells us that Enoch lived in the seventh generation from Adam. Back then, people had longevity. It was very, very likely that Enoch knew Adam. And imagine if he went to his great-grandfather one day and he says, great-grandfather, he probably skipped another six greats in that. But he says, what was it like? I'm just curious. What was it like to walk with God in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden? And you know, in being asked that, and being invited to remember it and recall it and relive it, it must have overwhelmed Adam as he thought of the regret that had filled his life all these years. Because he had walked out of that relationship of walking with God. And as he recounted it with great passion to Enoch, he must have said, oh, Enoch. It was indescribable. It was so wonderful to walk with God. And this is what it was like. And he just described it. And Enoch took in every word. And he left there and he purposed in his heart of hearts that he would be one who would walk closer with God than any person alive that day. And it was kind of like he perfected it. And one day as he was walking with God, it was like they had become so close, using my imagination, that God said to him one day, Enoch, we've gotten really close. Why not you not go home tonight? Why don't you come home with me? And he did. And Enoch walked with God, and he was no more, for God took him. There are so many adventures to be had in life, so much to discover. May God allow us to do that in these coming weeks as we go through the book of Ephesians, as we walk through it. And maybe today you're just kind of trying to figure all this out. Please listen to the words of Jesus. Come and learn of me. And if you do that, you will set out on the greatest adventure of life. Can we pray together? Father, we thank you that you have invited us to experience all who you are and all that you have forever in and through your Son, Jesus Christ. He's the greatest gift, and today we want to treasure him. We want to embrace him. We want to get to know him. We want to approach him, and we want to learn of the depths of his heart. And then we want to walk with you in a way that is daily ever deepening, and in a way that is closer than ever before. So lead us down that path as we go through the book of Ephesians. Bless Pastor Ken as he studies and prepares for next week's message. We pray that you'll take us just deeper into the heart of Jesus and help us to discover those things that will give us such hope and joy and confidence in this life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. So good to be back.